Hi, Joe Giglio. I'm Joe Ovias. Bomani Jones, ESPN, Right Time is the podcast. New HBO show coming out later this year. Yeah, Roy Williams has been a spectator. He's been to a couple of Carolina games this year, but it just so happens, Bomani, that halftime of the NC State North Carolina game is going to be the game in which he gets honored. Huh. Weird.
Yeah, I feel like one of the underrated best things about Roy is that he's kind of the last vestige to when Carolina State was like the one.
Mm-hmm.
He really cares about that one in a way that you're not going to get anybody else to get that job ever again who's going to care about that like that, because at least on the Carolina side, because the rest of them are dead. You hire any NC State grad, and they're going to care about that spectacularly for understandable reasons.
I mean, even Hubert Davis is the head coach who's lived it. He's been a player. He's been a coach there and things like that. It doesn't hit the same.
Yeah. No, I mean, he was playing against Les Robinson and them, yeah. Right?
It's not the same thing at all. Bomani Jones, ESPN, Right Time is a podcast, new HBO show coming out later this year. Now, speaking of HBO, I think it was this past Friday, you had done a commentary on the Baseball Hall of Fame, and we got the announcement this week. David Ortiz is the only player to make the class, you know, hitting the 75% threshold, which I think is a separate conversation. You opted out of the Barry Bonds part of the conversation or the Roger Clemens part of the conversation, and you focused on Curt Schilling, which I agree is wholly separate from performance-enhancing drugs, and it becomes the person. And you made the argument, no, Curt Schilling belongs in the Hall of Fame on the merits of him being in the Hall of Fame. Strip everything out. What was the reaction to that?
I don't think a lot of people knew exactly what to do.
I did
get a text from my old colleague, Will Kane, saying that it was a fascinating take, which I think was giving me far too much credit.
Okay. All right. I was going to say something. I'm not going to say it now. But regardless.
Nah, I hit it with the zag, man. Like, that's just all it came down to. Because here's the thing about it with Bonds. With Bonds, the argument they're really making is don't let him in because he's not a good person. I think it's very similar to the argument you're making with Clemens. The reason that it's different with Bonds than, honestly, anybody else is he had a very clear Hall of Fame career. Yeah. If he gets hit by a bus at the end of the 1998 or 1999 seasons, which is around then when we start talking about him and performance-enhancing drugs. Like, he goes in the Hall of Fame under those circumstances, mm-hmm. if that happens. What happened afterward, now we're hitting him with a morality tax. But there's no real new way to bring that point up about Barry Bonds. We've been talking about it since he was still playing. Schilling only became a pariah after he stopped playing. And like, hey, man, I don't like the dude, but that ain't got nothing to do with what it is that we're talking about right now.
Yeah, no, I'm with you on that. They're two totally separate conversations, and we're acting as though everybody who has a plaque in the Baseball Hall of Fame doesn't have their own demons or baggage that comes along with it. Now, maybe I'm reading this wrong, but I feel like David Ortiz getting into the Hall of Fame completely undercuts everything said about Barry Bonds or Roger Clemens specific to performance-enhancing drugs. Because David Ortiz, for whatever reason, gets a pass for being attached to the Mitchell Report and the New York Times having his name in there. I understand he never tested positive after they actually put in the drug policy. But, I mean, last time I checked, neither did Barry Bonds. He had all the other things attached to him, but he never actually tested positive. So what is the key difference between these guys other than people like Big Poppy and people don't like Barry Bonds?
Well, I think the likability factor is, like, obviously there and big. I also think that there is a legitimate, plausible argument about the quality of the reporting when it comes to attributing positive results from an anonymous survey, which mm-hmm. is what that drug test was in 2003. And that's what they've been leaning on. But what is very interesting about it is that Manfred has been leaning on it extra heavy and being like, no, David Ortiz is cool.
Yeah.
Trust me. And I don't know how you could ever say that about anybody in baseball. That's just not a plausible argument. And one thing that I do think is hilarious is we actually didn't learn anything from that steroid stuff. And when I say that, we still see things that look very fishy and obvious. But because we got libel laws and stuff like that, you can't just be out here forecasting and guessing as to whether or not somebody used performance-enhancing drugs. But you also don't have to act like they didn't when you look at them and be like, yo, that doesn't make any sense. People don't get better at that age.
Bomani Jones, ESPN, The Right Time is the podcast, joining us here on the Heister Automotive Group Hotline. Astrovius, I'm Joe Giglio and Bo. Joe and I disagree about whatever you want to call the Veterans Committee now. I think eventually they will let Bonds and Clemens in. What do you think?
No, do not.
Don't.
I was talking
because
to Howard
Bryan
about this.
Because it's their peers or because
because those guys are actually more rigid about the steroid stuff than the writers are.
Yeah.
Like, these dudes ain't going to be getting up to no 60, 70%, I don't think, with the Veterans Committee if it came around to there. Like, Schilling would have had a chance with them. These other guys, no, I don't think that they will.
Yeah, it's got to be, what, 12 of 16 on the committee. I know, what, Joe Morgan famously wrote a letter saying, like, no way, shape, or form. But this also is interesting in that, like, I read Bill from the LA Times.
Can you just ask, like, a simple question, though? Like, was Barry Bonds the greatest hitter of all time? Like, what other tests do we need, Bo? Like, that's the part I'm confused about.
Well, the thing with Barry Bonds is, you can make an argument that Barry Bonds is the best baseball player of all time, right? Like, hitter gets a little bit tricky.
Right.
But you can legitimately make an argument, or at the very least, and I don't think there's any, I have no pause saying this, he's the best baseball player since World War II.
Okay. So, I read, was it Bill Shaken? I believe is how you pronounce his last name. Longtime columnist for the LA Times. And he wrote something that actually bothered me because he was like, Barry Bonds isn't getting in, get over it. And there was a line about accountability. And he made a larger point about how we're in an age where accountability doesn't really seem to matter right now. But the Baseball Hall of Fame is making Barry Bonds accountable for the performance-enhancing drugs. And I'm sitting here going, didn't they let Bud Selig in?
Right.
So who's being held accountable here?
So this is the thing about writers and Bonds. Okay, and I understand that the general public does not have a very high opinion of media, and especially when the athletes that they actually root for turn against the media, then they all get on the side of the jock versus the nerd, right? Got it. I do find it problematic that the idea that basically people don't like Barry Bonds is a big part of why he's not in the Hall of Fame. Not all. I mean, they like Mark McGwire, and he's not in the Hall of Fame. So, you know, we can't say that it's all about that. However, writers tell me stories about the ways that Barry Bonds treated them, and I cannot promise you that my objectivity would be the same as it is here as a person who never met Barry Bonds.
Sure.
He was awful to a lot of people.
Makes sense. But Monty Jones, ESPN, Right Time is the podcast. All right, to the NFL, we got the conference championship games this weekend. In no way, shape, or form are they going to be able to match what we had in the divisional rounds. But there are plenty of interesting storylines, and Giglio's getting you got a reminder this week about what sports talk is all about. You got to rank the four quarterbacks. Whose story arc is the most important one?
Legacies, Bo. I didn't realize this is all about Matthew Stafford's legacy.
If Matthew Stafford gets into the Super Bowl, Bomani, I believe Dan Orlovsky will ascend into sports nirvana.
He will, and then Matthew Stafford will be able to say, I have been to as many Super Bowls as I have been to Pro Bowls. One of the more interesting factoids that I can provide you. That is the dead-up truth. Here's what's getting interesting to me. Because, you know, Josh Allen had that incredible game, right?
Yeah,
and deserves
all
the credit in the world for the game. I was watching one of these shows, and apparently the Athletic sent around a survey to general managers. And it was like, which of the up-and-coming quarterbacks would you take? Josh Allen, Joe Burrow, or Justin Herbert?
Mm-hmm.
Which is a very, you know, interesting array of names. Just trying to figure out when Lamar Jackson died.
Yeah.
And I have been saying this. I know a lot of people thought I was being a little crazy about it, but I feel like stuff like that is pointing out what I've been saying, which is this. If you go from when Aaron Rodgers was drafted in 2005 up until the Josh Allen draft, the 2018 draft, this country has not produced a whole lot of good white quarterbacks. It just hasn't. And you don't think about it, but when you really try to walk through it, and you can come up with the names, right? Mm-hmm. You get like Matt Ryan, Joe Flacco, Andrew Luck. That's a guy that comes up. Matthew Stafford. You're scraping the bowl after that. Like, after that, you're getting to Ryan Tannehill, right? Like, suddenly, all
the
white
Luck
quarterbacks.
Is the answer. Yeah. But, he would be the best.
Mac Jones.
Yeah, but he don't play no more.
No,
right?
I know, but I'm just.
But the point being, there was a whole generation of football players that came around, and y'all ain't really give us no good white quarterbacks to talk about. When you started talking, if we were having this conversation a year and a half, 2 years ago, about, like, who all the up-and-coming quarterbacks are, none of them were white. Mm-hmm. That has changed in the last couple years, right? Joe Burrow's come out. Justin Herbert is a guy we're talking about. Josh Allen has reached the form that people hope that he would have.
Yeah.
People still holding on to Matt Stafford for 13 years. Why do you think that is, right? Suddenly, we got white quarterbacks again. Everybody's so excited. they're going to forget about Lamar Jackson as quick as they possibly can. Because when you throw Herbert, who has not been in the playoffs yet on that list, and you ignore Lamar Jackson, it's just telling me. I don't think people are doing it on purpose, but I don't think this is coincidental.
Oh, we saw it with the Baker Mayfield hype, too. So the curiosity that I have is the AFC seems to at least be the... We'll strip away the context of Josh Allen and what point you were being what you were making there. If you do look at the AFC, though, it is loaded with the future of the NFL and the guys that we're going to be hyped about going forward. That's what it's all about right now for me.
Yeah, I'd say so. The fact that Lamar Jackson is probably the third best quarterback in the AFC is pretty staggering. The dude legit won an MVP, right? Like, not snuck one, legit won an MVP. That conference is definitely loaded right now with quarterbacks. Like, I feel like there's some guys that we actually didn't even name. And, like we still have the possibility of Trevor Lawrence.
It's possible, yes. It's possible.
Right. That whole division, though, that's the one that's bereft, right? Like, that's the one that doesn't have quarterbacks there.
Deshaun and Aaron Rodgers,
well...
We don't know. That's the thing. We don't know.
And Aaron Rodgers might be coming to the AFC. Yeah. Like, there's also that possibility. Like, yeah, no, it is loaded over there. The NFC, who are we talking about that isn't old, right? Because, like, Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers, we don't know if either of them are going to be over there. Dak Prescott, I guess, right now is probably the best quarterback in the NFC.
Aaron Rodgers in Denver. That just seems to me like... I feel like he would go to Denver so he could start his podcast career and go to another state of consciousness. Like Aaron Rodgers in Denver. I don't know if you've ever been to Denver.
I have.
Okay. So you know exactly what I'm talking about. I feel like Aaron Rodgers in Denver is a match made in heaven for not football reasons. He'll go really find himself in Denver.
Yeah, I think there's something to that. That's a fair one. I also think they're one of those kind of quarterback away situations, like with the Vikings and Brett Favre.
Dude, they've had
2009.
They've had 10 quarterbacks since Peyton Manning, and Peyton Manning was a passenger in the Super Bowl over the Panthers, but he had one good drive. That's neither here nor there. They've had 10 quarterbacks since then. That's insane.
Wow. But what are they one quarterback away from, Bo? Because Mahomes isn't going anywhere. Herbert's
legitimate,
not going anywhere.
Legitimate AFC contention. They have got enough everywhere else. It's just quarterback where they don't have it.
I don't know. Why would Aaron be better in the playoffs magically with a different team? Like, well, he has not been.
Because he wouldn't be. I'll tell you this. A big part of it would be, if you're at home, you're not playing in an ice box.
It's not warm in Denver, Bo.
No. But it's a whole different situation.
It's not.
I've been saying this for a long time. As much as everybody talks about it's a passing league, and you got these big macro-level samples to indicate that it's a passing league, there is a reason why Michigan and Minnesota in college play outdoors and the Vikings and the Lions play in domes. Mm-hmm. It's because once you cross over to December, it's too cold to be playing football outside. It is certainly too cold to base your strategy around throwing the ball all around the yard. And that's what the Packers have done. I've always found it to be weird. The year they won that Super Bowl with
on the road.
Aaron Rodgers, they were on the road the whole time.
Yep. When's the last time you went sledding, Bobani?
What do you mean by last?
You've never been sledding?
When's the first time?
Wait, why would that? When would that ever come up?
I mean, it's snow.
You've been in New York. It's been a pandemic.
Because you're going to get, like 3 feet of snow this weekend or something?
Oh, I guess that is going to happen. Joe, you got to remember, before I moved here, the farthest north I had ever lived was a place called Durham, North Carolina.
Which we had snow when you moved.
Do we have hills? What was I supposed to sled down?
Down a street like most people? Like, heck, that's what I did this past weekend.
To America's, homie. To America's. I just don't. This just ain't a toboggan. I guess that's the word. This just ain't a default setting.
All right. I mean, I have to fight the kids for the flexible flyer, man. Like, can we have a turn? I'm like, no.
Yeah, here I am talking about
childhood stuff I have to overcome. I didn't get this stuff growing up in Florida.
Hold on. Here I am talking about two Americas. I was about to say, here I am talking about two Americas on this, like, as if you're not from the Nordic land of Cuba.
Right. I mean, come on.
Yeah, you broadened your horizons. You're right. I ain't got that far.
Some people grow up in the South with no snow and are good with that. Others, like me, are like pining for snow.
No, I don't understand winter recreation. Like, winter wonderland stuff outside is just something that's a little bit beyond. Like, I mean, that's Nah, I saw
Aaron Rodgers in Denver had the other right idea there, Bo.
That's all winter recreation is about. That's what I was about to say. I saw feet of snow, and I was just like, I'm going to hunker down and work on these scripts.
Nope. All right, man. We'll talk to you later.
All right, man. You guys be good.
Bomani Jones, ESPN, Right Times, a podcast, new HBO show coming out here in the spring. Yeah, like, Bomani's right. Like, there's two, it's not necessarily two Americas. It's just two kinds of people who grew up in the South. So, it's as simple as that. I'm all in. Give me the snow. I don't even care if there's dusting outside. I will find a way on the flexible flyer to go down a hill. I will do it, including tomorrow morning.